So we left off yesterday, highlighting the two opinions in Tosfos as to whether the din of Tumas Krovim, or perhaps other din of Tumarel as well, what's the nature of these Teirim? These are Teirim B'Toras Hutra, that the Imam Shetagoma, that as long as you're a Korov, so then it's a freebie. Or as long as it's a Meis Mitzvah, it's a freebie. And the Isser of Tumas Kohanim was never said B'Chi Agavna. Otherwise, say no. But of course the Isser was said. It's just that it's going to be Mutter anyway, based on the principle of the Chuyah. So my nafkamin ladina, big nafkamin. Let's say there's not such a big tzairach. No grandiose need to go be mitami yourself. You're not accomplishing anything anyway. So one day in Taizim Sacham says that when you're not accomplishing anything anyway, so you have no right to be mitami. And therefore Taizim had issues with the story where the Kohen went to be mitami for the Nefil. Forget about the fact that it was a Nefil. That was a Habatzar. But even if it wouldn't have been a Nefil, if it wasn't a Tzara Chura, that wouldn't have been acceptable. And the other day, Tai says, "No, Mapitom, that's et gomer. That as long as it's your Korov, that would be okay." So we elaborated yesterday upon the Machlekes Rishonim, Rashi, and Tai's Brachas, and about Tai's Adam, how to interpret the entire Sukkot, give me Mitzvah, and that entire scenario, what's going on in Tai's Brachas, if you test the Chof. So the Ramban in Tai's Adam wants to bring a Raya that clearly Tumas Kohanim is mutla kriv even shlob makom tzarech. The tzarech kvura is not necessary. What's the rather on that? The Gemara has a whole discussion about at what point is it no longer permissible for a karev to be mitami? Let's say a karev decides 20 years later he wants to go visit his father's kever. So it's mutar, that's okay. So that's ridiculous. You reach a point where it's asur, so it's not clear where that point is. So we pass in halacha, that point is stimus agoilul. After stimus agoilul, so then a kohen is not permitted to be mitam anymore. Both men stimus agoilul. What's stimus agoilul? So at this week's parsha, she go pnei soda goil of a daifek. Says machlekes Rashi and Taisus, what exactly stimus agoilul means? So Rashi interprets that the goilul refers to the aron. So according to Rashi, the simple pshat is stimus agoilul means once they close the arums, then the Kohen can't be mitam anymore. So that's highly questionable. Is that what Rashi even meant? So Rabbi Tam says that the word gol doesn't refer to the arum. The word gol refers to the stone that's put on top of the kever. So in the days of the Gemara, apparently, according to Rabbi Tam, when they would finish the kvuras, and they would put a stone on, they put the matzev on right away. So we don't do that. We usually wait a little while for the matzev is later. So Taisus writes, what basically Stimus Agoilo means, according to Rabbeinu Tam, means the Gemara Kvura. So in the days of Chazal, the Gemara Kvura meant putting up the stone, Bizman Hazeh, means they put up a little marker that says the person's name, and then 6 months later, a year later, they'll put up the Matzeva. So whatever is considered to be the end of the Kvura, that's Stimus Agoilo. The Gemara has two dinim that depend on Stimus Agoilo. One is that that's the time when it's no longer permissible to be Mitame, and that's the time when the Avelus begins. So whatever you think Stimus Agoilo means, so we assume in Shulchan Aruch, it's Stimus Agoilo means the Gemara Kvura. So comes the Ramban into his Adam and says, I don't understand. He said, why does the Gemara have to raise a Harun, a whole drasha, a whole discussion of the Tanoim as to when is the latest time you could be Mitame? It sounds like Stimus Agoilo is the somehow like that's like the end of the story, says the Ramban. I don't understand. If you're only allowed to be Mitame, the Tzarcha Kvura, of course you can't be Mitame anymore. There's no Kvura anymore. The Kvura is over already. So why does the Gemara have to discover America, a whole new cloud called Stimus Agoilo? Then it's too late. Tape of late. Of course it's too late. It's way too late. It's after the Tzarcha Kvura already. So Zalman, from what you see from here, says the Ramban, the Tzarcha Kvura is not necessary. That's not the Makam. That's not the engine driving this halacha. It's very possible that a Kohen is allowed to be Matam even Shlo Tzarcha Kvura. But the Gemara is saying, you reach a certain point where it's too late already. So what's the deflection of the Ramban's Raya? So the other Rishonim would say, no, that's good for the reason. I mean, the Ramban is learning that Tzimtzum goes like a new halacha. That even though you don't really need Tzarcha Kvura, but Stimus Agoilo is too late. The other Rishon would say, no. The reason why the halacha is Stimus Agoilo is because it's not Tzarcha Kvura. So there's a new thing called Stimus Agoilo. That is the, forget, that's not a kasha, that's a raya. That's a reflection of this reality. The only allowed to be metamed at Tzarcha Kvura, and therefore wants a Stimus Agoilo for shteitz, if there's no Tzarcha Kvura anymore. So there is one last akuda that plays out in our sugya, which relates back to everything we've been talking about, And that's the following discussion. It's a very sad, tragic shaila, but it's unfortunately a very, very real shaila ma'isa today. The Hagros Maimini quotes Raya from our Gemara that there's no mitzvah of kvura on a nefil. So a woman miscarries. So what exactly is the status of the nefil? Was the nefil considered to be like a regular person or not? So vis-a-vis chistumus meis, the answer is obvious, yes, that's what the whole song is talking about. Of course, the nefil is considered to be besara adam, besara meis, so it would be mitame. On the other hand, just because it's mitame doesn't necessarily mean there's a mitzvah kvura on it. The mitzvah kvura, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, is derived from psukim, parashas kiseitze. You cover the Torah says you have to bury a person. The Torah is speaking about Harugei Beis Din. The Torah is speaking about the person who was Rosalina Rosal 8, so he's Chayev. He's chayv skila, and then he's chayv to the mitzvah of tli, and then you have to take him off the eitz right away. You cover the ground of your home. So the Gemara says there's a mitzvah of kvura. So the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin has 2 days. Is this the rule or is this the exception to the rule? So according to one day in the Gemara, the mitzvah of kvura, of course, applies to a regular person. It's like a chiddush. Like, not only is there a mitzvah of kvura on a regular, normal tzaddik, but even on the guys that manuvel, this guy's an oivir of a nizari, he's chayv skila, chayv tli, and kilas of kim tolui. And even him you have to do kvura on. But of course there's a mitzvah kvura on a regular person. And the other day, I think Mor says, no, the Torah is mechadish that a Beis Din killed a person, and Beis Din is a mitzvah kvura. A regular person? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily a mitzvah kvura. I would do kvura. Everyone does kvura. So there's one day, I think Mor seems to say that the chavas kvura is only a chiyuv midderabanan. So everyone agrees that by the ruge Beis Din, there's a chiyuv deraisa. If it's not clear, is that the rule is that exception to the rule. We paskin, the Ram paskins explicitly, we pass the kvur deraisa. We paskin is the mitzvah deraisa. Every Jew is a chovas kvur ki kov tik brenna bayamahu. There's a startling Ramban in Parshas Kiseitze where the Ramban writes that in Eretz Yisrael, there's a chiyuv of kvur and goyim as well. So in Chutz La'aretz, there's no chiyuv for us to be covered the mason. If goyim are burying their mason, we should help them out. That's what the Mishnah says in Maseches Gittin. But in terms of one of the tagmits, the chovas kvur on a mason doesn't exist. So the Rabban writes, that's Chutz La'aretz. But in Eretz Yisrael, you have to bury even the mason. Why? Because lo satam yisad moscha. Because the Torah says, so the Ramban seems to learn that in addition to the mitzvahs kvura, etc., there's another thing you shouldn't be having mesim floating around Eretz Yisrael. It's not a good thing to be marvitumus mesim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban writes that there's a special mitzvah to be buried goyish mesim in Eretz Yisrael, above and beyond the regular mitzvahs kvura, a Jewish mesim, which applies throughout the entire world. And the Ramban says, and that's what's going on in Sefer Yeshua, when the Pasuk says, that when they killed some of the Malach in Canaan, so Yeshua was careful to bury the mason before the end of the day. So state in the pasuk. Why is Yeshua running to bury them? This pasuk doesn't apply to goyim. So the Ramban says it does apply to goyim in Eretz Yisrael. It that applies to goyim as well. But that's a shah. The Rambam doesn't quote it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't make mention of it. So we're not sure what to do with that Ramban. The Ramban is very important for those who want to go to medical school in Eretz Yisrael. That's very, very important because. Whenever a person goes to medical school, they study a mason, they use the dead bodies. So that's a bitl mitzvah kvura, that's a bizarre nivul mason, all kind of things to the mason that would be a violation of kvura. The Gemara has in the end of the Sechs of Abbas, there's an issue called nivul mason. You're not allowed to desecrate, you're not allowed to do anything that would be a bizarre mason. Had a Chazal know there's such an issue of nivul mason, so the Chazam say if you write to the tshuva, it was learned out from the mitzvah kvura. If the Torah says, cover the ground of Yom Kikilas, not to bury the mace, so cover the chayim, a person does autopsy, all kinds of different things to mace him. So for sure, that's considered to be a nivul mace as an issa gama min Torah. So we assume that issa of nivul mace is a subcategory of the mitzvah kvura. So there's no mitzvah kvura, there's no issa nivul. So then in Goyish mace, there's no mitzvah kvura, there's no mitzvah nivul, there's no issa nivul.
What is nivul?
Nivul would mean like to start opening up mason and taking them apart and doing things that would be disgraceful to mason. Let's say, for example, to do an autopsy, so you open up a person and take his kishkas out, and you know that's not right. There was a machlekes to Nedi Bihuda and the Binyan Sion. Would we permit an autopsy if it's a macham bikuch nefesh? Let's say that we're going to learn something from what we're going to study. It's going to save somebody else's life. So the Binyan Tzion said, even that's also. He said, you're not allowed to even save, you're not allowed to do nivul hamais, even for the purpose of a pikuch nefesh. Why is that? Pikuch nefesh can be machal shabbos for. So the Binyan Tzion explains that the heter pikuch nefesh, Kodesh Baruch Hu is moichel on his cover for Pikuach Nefesh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is moichel on his Shabbos and his Kashrus and his eating chametzin and Pesach, his eating on Yom Kippur, all the mitzvahs v'ram l'machom. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is mevater on the b'machom Pikuach Nefesh. Mitzvahs v'ram l'chaveiro. You have to ask the Baal HaBas, you have to ask the guy in charge. So if the guy in charge is still alive, you can talk to him. The guy's dead already. It's hard to have a negotiation when the person was dead. So you can't, unless maybe you can argue, maybe he signed off beforehand, maybe he wrote in his tzavah, then you can do autopsies on him. Okay, that's a different thing.
From Yehuda and Tamar?
Huh?
Granted from Yehuda and Tamar?
So it's part of that. It's part of that story a little bit, yeah.
But I'm saying, we hold by that, I mean, if we pass like that, but we would hold by that by any
bit on
the chaver, like I can't steal from somebody.
Yeah, so that's what the Gemara says, that also hatzalatz mam chaver. The Gemara says that I'm not allowed to steal from someone, not allowed to take somebody's property, even to save my own life. It's a machlokes of the Gemara. We pass it. Also, hatzalatz mam chaver. So Tosfos writes on the spot of a Kamba. What that means is that it doesn't mean it's also. Tosfos says you're allowed to call Shabbos to save your life. Of course, you're allowed to rob a bank to steal your life. What it means is you have to pay the person back. It means that one opinion says mutlatzal chaver means that let's say the only way for me to save my life is to damage your property. So let's say I'm running away from somebody, and in the process of running away, the only way for me to save myself is to run through your field and destroy your entire field. So there's one day the Gemara says that mutter, and one day the Gemara says it's also. So Taisa says that machlekes doesn't mean mutter rasa. Of course it's mutter. I'm happy to be also. Mutter rasa means is it mutter and therefore I don't have to pay for it, or is it also and therefore of course I do it and then I have to pay back the bill later. So that's what Taisa says. So Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Rashi seems to take the words of the Gemara Kipshuto oslat zochmeveri. So the Binyan Sion says, why is it also? So the answer is, it's also because Ben Amdach Haverim, you have to get the other guy's permission. And then the Ben Yitzion says, and even according to Tosfos, the only reason why it's mutter is because Lamais, you can pay back for it. So you're going to make restitution later. But let's say you do an Haverim, Ben Amdach Haverim, that you can't pay back. You're going to take away his kishkas, you can open up his body, you can do an evil Lamais on him, even to save somebody's life. How are you ever going to pay it back to him? You don't have his rishos. You know, you never make a restitution to him. So it's tacha b'yisur amin. It's a chedesh gal of the Ben Yitzion. So the Nebuta says that's not true. The Nebuta says, la l'chayot v'amayelam. The Nebuta says that if you could be Mechal Shabbos for a chalash yesh v'sakana, you could do Ben Amdach Haverim also for a chalash yesh v'sakana. I think so, yeah. I think Basak Nebuta. So the only thing is that Nebuta says you have to be careful that it really meets the criteria of what's called Pikuch Nefesh. So what do you mean? Let's meet by criteria. This was a very, very common child in Europe, that they would sometimes want to do autopsies because the medical schools would say, we have to learn about this condition. So maybe it says that's called Pikuch Nefesh, just to enhance our knowledge about something. That's not called Pikuch Nefesh. If there's what's called the Chol Lefaneinu, let's say there's a sick person in the next bed, literally, figuratively, there's a sick person here, and our studying about this person is going to assist us in our knowledge about this machla, and it's a chance that it may save this guy's life. So the Nabi said, that's okay, that's Pikuch Nefesh, that's a suffix Pikuch Nefesh. But there's no Chol Lefaneinu, there's nobody here, nobody sick. Elohat, you're going to do a study, and then and you think you're going to fill out, you're going to find out some information about something that may help somebody down the line. That this ain't the dog's life. You can't call that Pikuch Nefesh. There has to be a certain point where you say that there's nobody here yet, there's nobody sick yet. So that's not considered to be Pikuch Nefesh.
Is it the same thing by the organ transplants?
So organ transplants is part of the Shaila. So organ transplants, there's always a Chol Lefaneinu. There's always a guy here. So according to the Binyan Tzion, that would be a problem. According to the Binyan Tzion, that would be a violation of Nivla Meis and cover the Quran, etc. Unless the person signed off on it, which is usually what happens. I mean, usually the person wants to give organs, after he signs on his license that says, take my kidneys, take my liver, take my whatever you want to take from me. So that would be no longer a violation of the Chaver anymore. The guy's Mavata, the guy's Meichel on it. So he's Meichel on it, so that would be okay Pashas, even according to the Binyan Tzion. So I think the general halachas assume, like the Nevi Yehuda, that as long as it meets the criteria, what's called Chol Lefaneinu. You have to figure out what's called Chol Lefaneinu. The Nevi Yehuda lived in Prague in the 1700s. So Chol Lefaneinu meant there's a guy in the next bed in Prague. Whereas today, maybe Lefaneinu means anywhere in the world. You have a guy sick in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to do a study here, and it's going to find out something. So that's always a question. How much are we really going to learn about, you know, in today's world, and tough Shin Pei Aleph, how much are they going to learn more? They're going to do an autopsy, and this guy, all of a sudden, they're going to find out some unbelievable, great information that's going to save somebody's life. And you have to talk to the Mumchim B'Dav. Remember, once we were dealing with a case like this, where there was somebody who passed away from a Arab, so it was like a Mashunadik thing. It wasn't like, you know, an average kind of a thing. On the other hand, they knew about this condition. This condition had been studied for the last 100 years. So So somebody was chaperoning, one of the doctors was saying that we have to do an autopsy. It's important for us to find out more information. So I remember speaking to one of the doctors, one of the firm doctors who knew something about the case. So he said to me, when are they going to find out more information? They know. All that means is someone's going to write a study. They'll do a research paper. It'll sit in in Harvard Medical School for 20, and it'll be published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and they're going to save anybody's life. So I think the way medicine works, research works, it's not going to be a direct correlation. So again, I'm not a bulky bedover. I don't know enough about this topic, so you have to find out if and when there's some real chashash b'gur nefesh. So then, yes, so then we I think the minhag is to follow the name of against the binyan. Anyway.
Were they doing it for COVID autopsies?
I don't think they were learning anything from. I think the last thing they were doing was taking about autopsy of COVID. They wanted to get rid of the mace. I don't think they were learning anything grandiose from the dead bodies about the COVID. They were learning things in the lab about COVID. I'm not sure what they were learning from the bodies. The use of Nimel Mace, we mentioned, that's a real serious issue. So that's, some Sefer said that's part of the Mitzvah Kura. There's a. I was once involved in a very, very sad situation with somebody. I was a Rabban Paramus. So Nebuch, one of the Balbatim in the shul, was hit by a car and was killed instantaneously by a car. So at the time, they wanted to, whenever those things happen, so the medical examiner, the coroner, gets involved, and they wouldn't release the body until they did it. And they wanted to do some testing on the mace, on the person, Nebuch, on the victim, what kind of testing. They wanted to make sure that he wasn't drunk at the time. Not the driver. At first, he wasn't drunk. He wasn't on the drugs or anything at the time. Why? If there's all kind of insurance things, because he got hit. He was walking in the street, he got hit by a car, so they want to make sure that maybe he was, I'm sure you follow that day, plenty of these kinds of things. So part of the general protocol is they do certain blood work on Nebuch, on the victim of a car accident. So I just the other day, just went to Shabbos. I was driving back very late from somewhere, and then Mamish saw an accident happen. Mamish, as I was about to get onto the bridge, so I saw two cars. Mamish smashed. The guy was going like at 90 miles an hour. Mamish smashed right into each other, and both cars went flying in both directions. So I couldn't. It wasn't practical to stop. So I couldn't do anything if I stopped anyway. So I called him immediately as I was continuing. I was mamish getting literally onto the bridge, and it happened like right on the side of me. So I called 911 right away. So I reported, exactly. I tried to describe him exactly where it happened, and they asked where the injuries. I couldn't see it. I said my guess was probably yes, but I said I can't tell you for certain. So they thanked me very much and finally took my phone number. So then 20 minutes later, I was already home. I just pulled into the house. 20 minutes later, I get a call back from EMS number, whatever it was. It wasn't 911 exactly, so someone called me. They said, tell us exactly what happened. We couldn't find it. I told them again exactly where it was. They said, we went to the site. We couldn't find it. They said to me, how serious an accident was it? Maybe they were just like, they bumped each other and they just left. I'm telling you, they didn't leave. I said, the guys were going 80 miles an hour. So they said, the car went flying across three lanes of the highway. The airbags went popping out. I said, maybe a miracle happened and somebody got up. I said, I'm telling you, maybe you were looking in the wrong place. I'm telling you, they didn't leave in the last 20 minutes. They'd like exchange numbers and see you later. You know, is that what happened? So I don't know. I said, no, what happened? I don't know. Anyway, so Nebuch years ago, so this Balabas was killed, hit by a car, was killed on the spot. So there was first there was a whole tumor, they wanted to do an autopsy, so that the family convinced them not to do an autopsy. And they reached a point where the coroner insisted they do some kind of a blood work on the person. So I was a young rough at the time. I said, I didn't know what the rest of, how much did they fight with the coroner? I had no idea. So the medical examiner told me that you should be in contact with the Bergen County police chaplain. So maybe he'll speak to you. He'll tell you exactly. Okay, fine. I'll talk to him. I don't know whether it's going to be Jewish. The police chaplain said, the Jewish chaplain. It's going to be a Jewish. It's a Jewish chaplain. So they gave me the phone number of the Bergen County Jewish chaplain. I should talk to him. So the guy we spoke to in the coroner's office said to me, his name is Rabbi Moses. What's his name? Rabbi Moses. Arroz. Arroz could be, who knows whether he's from, whether he's, who he is, Rabbi Moses. So I certainly called up Rabbi Moses. So he picks up the phone. He says, yo! I said, Rabbi Moses. He said, yeah, my name is Rabbi Moshe Kushka something, a long, long last name. He said, they don't, can't pronounce my last name, so they all call me Rabbi Moses. Yeah. So I recommend Rabbi Moses. I'm from, I forgot what he says, Monroe, from New Square. I forgot about it. It was Chassidish fellow. He's the Bergen County police chaplain. He's that taller guy. The investigator, I'm never sure. So I said to him, I said, you know, I have this case yet. Somebody was hit by a car, was killed, and now they're refusing to release the body unless they do some blood sampling work on him. So Moses said to me, it's okay, it's mutter, you're allowed to do the blood work. I said, like, why is it mutter? So he said, Ramosha get Baskin is mutter. I said, Ramosha, not Rabbi Moses, Ramosha fights. Yeah. Ramosha fights in Baskin is mutter. So I didn't feel at the time, at least it was time to, I had no idea, I'm not sure who he was talking about. I said, okay, thank you so much. So I told them, Rabbi Moshe fights at Baskin is mutter. Then months, years later, I found the tshuva of Ramosha. He's right. Ramosha says that nivel ames means that you're not allowed to do something to a mace that a person would consider to be embarrassing to him. So in Bechayev. So let's say, for example, when they do an autopsy, so they open up the guy, they take out his kidneys, take out his livers, take out his heart. So most people would be very embarrassed to be walking around with their stomach wide open, with their kidneys protruding. People would consider that to be a big and evil mace, and they would survive it. Moshe ain't came to do blood work, when Moshe says, what's the bizarre mace? Blood work. The guy gets blood work. Shem v'chavisha. To get enteric strong, they got to get blood work. Everyone has to get blood work. So you walk around with a little bandage, or a little band-aid that you got to get blood drawn to get cholesterol test, to get this thyroid test. It's like, I said, well, what's one piece of the mace? That's like, well, the new one is. So that was the Pesach of Ramosha. So that's what Rabbi Moses, so I learned from Rabbi Moses, Shekel Torah. That's what the fun. So get back to the story. So when Nefel, we're not sure if his mitzvah is kvura or Nefel Mechal. Is there mitzvah kvura? So that goes from Haiman, he writes, Raya from our Gemara, that there's no mitzvah of kvura on a Nefel. What's the Raya? He says, what did they do with the Nefel? They tossed it into the pit, into the bar. Nobody buried it. They just threw it away. They basically threw it away. They just disposed of it. So says that goes from Haiman, you see from here that there's no mitzvah kvura on a Nefel. So the Magen Avraham quotes this, that goes from Haiman. He says, yes, I think it's right. He said, his Raya from our Gemara is not a good Raya. He says, the Magen Avraham, who said that the throwing it into the pit wasn't the kvura? That is the kvura. What is a pit? It's dirt. It's the ground. So you throw it into the ground. So that you didn't have a four. Didn't go to a formal cemetery. Didn't have a whole funeral. But push comes to shove, you cover the kvura by Yemu. They did a kvura. So then you'd say the mitzvah kvura. So how do you see right from Agamar to anything? It's a very, very difficult mugging of Ram, because it would appear from the Gemara that they didn't cover over the mace with dirt. They just threw it inside. If it was covered over with 6 feet of dirt, so then how they? Why was this coin going the next day to go see whether it was Zohar and Kema? So that's Kvur Bakarka. Kvur Bakarka L'chora means it's not enough to throw it into a hole. It's got to be surrounded by dirt. It's got to be covered with dirt. That's what Ramosha writes in another tshuva. He writes that when you bury a mace, so you have to throw a little bit of karka on the mace. So Ramosha has a discussion, how much karka do you need? You need three tvachim, six tvachim, whatever the shear of pur is. It's got to be some kind of a shear, something to be called a kvura. It's time to throw it into an open pit and to leave it open. That's called a kvura. So that's a very difficult Magen Avraham. But then the Magen Avraham, the part that's relevant for us, is the Magen Avraham says, I bring a raya, that there must be a chavas kvur, it has to be a chiyuv kvur on a nefer. What's the right? He says the Magen Avraham says that the Torah's Kohanim, we spoke about this yesterday, the Torah's Kohanim learns out from a pasuk, la'avul ima lo yitama, that a kohen is not allowed to be mitama for a nefer. He's not allowed to be mitama for a bar kayama, not for a nefer. So, frank the Magen Avraham, according to Hefter Rishonim, according to one day in Taisus of Sahum of Tess, you're only allowed to be mitama if it's the Torah kvura. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me not mitame for a nefel? If there's no tzarech kvura, there's no mitzvah kvura. So it's always shlo tzarech kvura. So even if you're choosing personally to bear the nefel, but it's not a mitzvah kvura. So it says the Magen Avraham for the fact that the Torah's kohanim needs a special, there's a kosher, special pasuk to tell me that you're not mitame for a nefel. There must be a mitzvah kvura. So what would the response to the Magen Avraham be? Maybe the response would be, no, higufa, haraya. Means from the fact that the Torah says, I wouldn't know whether the mitzvah kvura or nefel or not. I have no idea. So from the fact that the Torah says love lima leitama, which teaches me that for a nefel you're not allowed to be mitame. Why not allowed to be mitame for a nefel? Oh, because there's no mitzvah kvura. So according to the Magen Avraham, that this is teaching me that even though there's mitzvah kvura, there's exerce a cause of you're not mitame. Now, if I care, you're not metame because it's not going to miss his gura. This is good for the mocher, for the girl's mind. The Zachazal knew that from the fact that the coin's not metame, it must be a raya that there's no mitzvah gura altogether. So this is a shayla in the poskim. This is a real shayla. This shayla comes up, unfortunately. Women miscarry. Sometimes she miscarries very early on. There's nothing really there. Just kind of gets... nothing really to bury, but sometimes a little bit later on into the pregnancy, so there's a real baby there. Sometimes Chalil, the woman has a stillborn, so the baby's born no longer alive. So is there really a Chovas Kvurana? So that's a shal in the poskim. So there goes some Aymini claim based on Agamor, they're not. And the Magen Avraham says, no, from Agamor it's not a Raya. But Chalal, if you care, Magen Avraham thought there's a Raya from Tosis, then maybe there would be. Okay, that was just the Shiraim of yesterday's Shia. We try to tell people to do it. We try, if you're able to do a kfura, we try to tell them to do a kfura. Sometimes it's not always so easy to get to do it. So we try to do it. It's a shayla, but it's a deraisa. So we try to do it if we can.
Is there a bracha
kfura
in general?
Usually don't mix them in on the chaveh. What?
You say
mechayev mesa. Don't say that. You say that. There's a bracha that you say when you go to the cemetery.
Yeah.
That's not to a kfura. Okay, good. All right, so that was the Shiran. That was supposed to be the first time at the Shia. That was supposed to start the next app. Okay, we have a recording.